It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Awaiting a decision. Good afternoon. Pro-choice protesters ramping up their actions to try and influence the Supreme Court ahead of an all-important abortion ruling that could come at any time. Activists are hosting what they're calling a disruptive resistance today on the steps of the High Court with the hopes of stopping the justices from overturning Roe. Indiana Congressman Jim Banks thinks it's an attempt to intimidate the court.
It's the height of hypocrisy. These Democrats are so hyper-focused on January's sham committee, yet it's their own rhetoric that's inciting people to show up and protest the Supreme Court justices' homes.
Pro-life activists wonder why the White House has been so silent on these sorts of crimes.
And of course, as they see that there's no enforcement there, you're seeing the protests ratchet up in terms of their radicalism, their vulgarity, and their threatening nature.
Carrie Seferino, president of the Judicial Crisis Network.
People have been protesting about Roe versus Wade for almost 50 years, but there's a way to do it in a peaceful way that sends your message but isn't threatening personally to the justices. And their goal seems to be personally threatening to the justices.
More than 40 pro-life centers have been attacked since that leaked draft opinion indicating the High Court could be ready to roll back Roe. The Supreme Court today ruled on a case that could be a game changer for public education.
In a 6-3 decision, the High Court ruled public vouchers are allowable for private and religious schools in rural areas of the U.S. The case that originated in Maine means parents, in some cases, now have the choice to send their kids to schools using their taxes meant for public schools. I'm Michael Kastner.
Twitter today approving Elon Musk's $44 billion takeover of that social media site. The deal still needs approval from Twitter's shareholders. A fourth public hearing into the January 6th Capitol attack happens this afternoon on Capitol Hill.
Last week, they were focused on the pressure campaign from former President Trump against Vice President Pence. Today, it'll be the pressure campaign against local election officials, including in Georgia. Committee Vice Chair Liz Cheney.
It targeted every tier of federal and state elected officials.
Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger is set to testify.
That election official was on this infamous phone call with the former president in the days following the 2020 vote.
I just want to find 11,780 votes.
Republicans call the public hearings political theater meant to distract Americans from the real problems they're facing. President Biden is facing backlash after suggesting that what you pay at the gas pump could be a good thing if it encourages Americans to go green. Here's what he told reporters in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware.
We have a chance here to make a fundamental turn toward renewable energy. Electric vehicles.
Reporter Doug Lazader says Republicans were quick to pounce on those remarks.
Senator Josh Hawley tweeted this: it should now be crystal clear what the Green New Deal means. We're seeing it in action. Gas prices to bankrupt middle-class families.
The Biden administration wants half of all vehicles sold in this country to be electric vehicles by the end of the decade. Well, today's the day little kids and babies can get pint-sized COVID shots.
You may be hearing this at many pediatrician offices. This the sound of a three-year-old in Lexington, South Carolina, getting a COVID shot. Dr. Celine Gounder is with Bellevue Hospital in New York.
Both vaccines do produce good antibody levels that are correlated with good protection.
Infants as young as 6 months will be able to get the shot.
Correspondent Steve Futterman, the parents of children killed in last month's school shooting in Texas, want the school police chief to resign. At an emotional school board meeting last night, the Uvalde community called on Chief Pete Arredondo to step down. Brett Cross lost his 10-year-old nephew in the shooting.
We were failed by Pete Arredondo. He failed our kids, teachers, parents, and city. And by keeping him on your staff, y'all are continuing to fail us.
Last night's meeting comes 4 weeks after an 18-year-old killed 19 children and two teachers at Robb Elementary School. Investigators say Chief Arredondo ordered dozens of police officers to wait in a hallway for more more than an hour after the gunman opened fire. Russia is not ruling out the death penalty for two American veterans who were captured while fighting for Ukraine in the besieged city of Kharkiv. Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo.
This is heartbreaking. This is why leadership matters. And we find ourselves in this terrible place. The Ukrainians find themselves in this terrible place because the United States lost deterrence. These death sentences on these two Americans, these two folks who served in the United States military, are just another example of the incapacity of this administration.
A spokesperson for Vladimir Putin says the Alabama citizens will not be protected by the Geneva Convention. Well, stifling heat and humidity continues to take a toll across a large swath of the country. Reporter Shaquille Brister.
Triple-digit temperatures have Americans sweating from coast to coast as a heat dome spanning from the Midwest to the deep south moves east. More than 100 heat records are expected to be broken this week.
Real field conditions in Milwaukee today exceeding 100 degrees. It was in the upper 90s yesterday in Fargo, North Dakota.
Just got to be careful and sensible.
Jeez, we got to hydrate, got to stay inside, get that air conditioning, all that good stuff.
The oppressive heat will not relent until the 4th of July weekend for some. A new study today shows one-fifth of all long haulers, those with persistent COVID symptoms, 20% of those people experience brain fog for more than a year. Researchers liken the cognitive impairment caused by COVID to traumatic brain injury. And want to feel old? Well, Prince William turned 40 today, the man who will one day be King of England, second in line to the throne after his father, Prince Charles. Still to come on the Noon Report, GOP debate, the bees are back, and abortion politics.
Well, good afternoon to all. Happy summer. It is now officially summer, and it's going to feel the part over the next couple of days. Forecast details are coming up.
All right. Happy summer to you, too. Kevin Williams will check back in about 10 minutes. Let's check the stories making news across New York and Pennsylvania. It was debate night last night for the four Republicans who want to be the next governor of New York.
You just lied to the voters.
No, that's 100% accurate.
It was a feisty forum for sure, aired on Spectrum News as the candidates took to the stage for the last time before next week's gubernatorial primary.
Ask your question, and now what happens is I get to answer the question, Andrew. That's how this works. I know you feel like you're entitled to become governor of New York.
All four candidates agreed that COVID-related mandates must end. Each called for the rollback of bail reform, which they blame for out-of-control crime in the Empire State. Primary day is next Tuesday. New York Post columnist Michael Goodwin thinks the frontrunner, Lee Zeldin, will ultimately win that primary and go on to defeat incumbent Democrat Kathy Hochul.
She'll almost certainly win the Democratic primary, but there's not a lot of enthusiasm for her. So I think this is a kind of year where a good Republican candidate can pull it off.
It has been over 20 years since New York has elected a Republican governor. Abortion politics could figure prominently in deciding Pennsylvania's next governor. The nominees are Democrat Josh Shapiro, who yesterday called Republican Doug Mastriano's pro-life views dangerous.
He is dangerous, he's extreme, and he is way out of touch with where most Pennsylvanians are on this issue.
But many on the pro-life side argue it is Shapiro with the extreme and dangerous views. They say his abortion politics are even more radical than the outgoing Governor Tom Wolf, who once worked for Planned Parenthood. New York health officials are reviewing services provided by pregnancy care centers. These are centers that do ultrasounds, but not abortions.
Yeah, a package of laws approved earlier this month by Governor Hochul comes ahead of a looming U.S. Supreme Court decision that could overturn Roe v. Wade, and as the centers have been the targets of attacks, including one facility in Erie County. Abortion supporters argue the state needs to have a better understanding of the services these facilities provide, especially as abortions in other states are being restricted. Pro-life advocates, including the New York Catholic Conference, call the attacks disturbing and say the state should have promoted options beyond terminating a pregnancy. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Thank you, Jeremy. St. John Fisher College near Rochester, New York, is preparing for an historic transition. It will soon become St. John Fisher University. The school president says the move conveys greater prestige and will allow the campus to continue to grow. The name change becomes official July 1st. The vest worn by the top supermarket gunman during the May 14th massacre in Buffalo was not included in New York's new body armor ban. Former Buffalo police captain Jeff Rinaldo thinks the hastily passed statute was a political decision, not a crime-fighting one.
I have never met a criminal that bothers to check any laws before they break the law. I do not think that a bad person is going to see the existence of this law and say, well, since I can't legally wear a vest to go commit a murder, then I'll probably not do it. I think that it will have no effect. I think that it was short-sighted.
Rinaldo tells WIVB that lawmakers need to take a different approach to fighting crime.
We need to get in front of individuals that are showing signs of becoming a danger to society. We also need to enforce gun laws in this state. The amount of illegal guns and the penalty that somebody faces when arrested with a gun are literally laughable in this state.
The accused gunman in the Tops massacre, 18-year-old Peyton Gendron of Conklin, is being held without bail and could face the death penalty. Pennsylvania motorists are being asked to slow down in work zones. Family Life's Brian Query reports.
The Pennsylvania Department of Transportation is once again reminding drivers to be cautious when traveling through work zones. A PennDOT worker was injured in a crash in Allegheny County and had to be taken to the hospital for treatment. And this is not an isolated incident. So far this year, data shows there have been over 300 incidents in work zones, with 31 PennDOT employees being injured and nearly 70 pieces of equipment damaged. Drivers are reminded that penalties for speeding or crashing in a work zone can result in a license suspension or major fine. Police are stepping up patrols, along with photo-enforced radar zones, to help encourage more responsible driving through the orange barrels. Brian Query, Family Life News.
All right, Brian, thank you. The Bees are back at the Giant headquarters in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Now, earlier this year, that grocery chain reported that 60,000 honeybees had been stolen from its 7-acre site. Giant this week unveiling new beehives and promises by next year to have 500,000 bees back in the honey-making business. Now, bee populations nationwide are declining, and that is very concerning because one-third of the country's food supply depends on insects, like honeybees, pollinating plants. At 13 past the hour, this is the Noon Report. All right, let's check sports. The Tampa Bay Lightning have made it a series again after getting blown out in the first two games of the Stanley Cup Finals. The two-time defending champs came roaring back against Colorado last night. 6-2 the final at home. Six different skaters lit the lamp for Tampa. Game 4's tomorrow. Gerrit Cole took a no-hitter into the eighth as the New York Yankees notched their 50th win of the season. The Bronx Bombers beat the Tampa Rays 4-2 to put them 33 games above 500. The Mets kept the Marlins from getting an extra base hit. 6-0 the final at home. David Peterson led the charge on the mound, giving up just 6 hits over 5 1/3 innings. At the dish, Brandon Nimmo had 3 hits while Eduardo Escobar drove in 3 runs. The Boston Red Sox improved to 37-31 on the season. 5-2 the final over Detroit at Fenway. The White Sox survive a late rally from Toronto. They hold on for the 8-7 win. The Blue Jays have dropped 4 of 5. The Royals picked up a big win over Noah Syndergaard and the Angels in Anaheim, 6-2 your final. Orlando Arcia hit a walk-off RBI single. The Braves edged the Giants 2-1. Pittsburgh crushed the Cubs 12-1 at home. The NBA draft is this Thursday night, and the Orlando Magic will get the top pick. In other NBA news, Kyrie Irving and the Brooklyn Nets are at an impasse. Irving played just 29 games with the Nets this season for not complying with New York City's vaccine mandate. Four-time major champion Brooks Koepka is the latest golfer to defect from the PGA Tour. He will join the LIV Golf Invitational Series. The 32-year-old is one of the highest-profile players to join that breakaway circuit, which is funded by a Saudi company and fronted by golfing great Greg Norman. At the Family Life Sports Desk, I'm Bob Price. And still to come on the Noon Report for a Tuesday, new questions about the Texas school shooting. Supreme Court rules on school choice case and a Christian response to Gay Pride Month.
Christianity is a way of life, but at one level, it's also a message that has to be told. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. A once popular song by the band Switchfoot declared, "We were meant to live for so much more, but we lost ourselves." In the closing line of his remake of the song Hurt, Johnny Cash lamented that the one thing he'd do differently if he could live life over was to, quote, keep himself. "I would find a way," he says. It points to something that the Bible claims, that we all have some innate knowledge of God, eternity in our hearts. We think about life in terms of moral expectations, and we seek purpose, reasons, and an ultimate reason, in fact, to live. The problem, of course, is that because we're marred by sin, so is our pursuit of this truth about who we are and what life is all about. In Christ, our relationships are reconciled, not only with God, but ultimately also with ourselves, and of course others too. The freedom, the joy, the beauty that result when relationships are reordered in Christ, well, that's something we're supposed to proclaim to the wider world. Often, however, we struggle to communicate our faith well across worldview and cultural lines. In fact, the further adrift a culture gets from reality, the more reality can sound like fantasy. And we get the impression that our efforts to present the truth to others is going nowhere. Well, in his recent book, Mark Middleberg tackles the challenge and the calling to communicate faith in this cultural moment. It's called Contagious Faith. And it teaches believers to communicate Christianity to a world that, whether it knows it or not, is looking for better answers. According to Middleberg, a big obstacle to overcome is actually believing that Christianity is something worth sharing. Here's what he writes. Quote, "What if, instead of quietly clinging to our relationship with Christ and succumbing to the idea that faith should be private, we realized that faith is for sharing, that Jesus came not just for me and you, but to be the Savior of the world?" Well, it's easy to feel intimidated by the thought of sharing Jesus with others, but Mark's approach emphasizes the different gifts and the different skills that exist within the body of Christ. He describes five of what he calls contagious faith styles that Christians can learn to practice. Those, for example, with the friendship building style are more like Matthew, the former tax collector turned disciple who held a party in his house in order to introduce Jesus to his former coworkers. Or perhaps you're more of the selfless serving style, like Tabitha, described in Acts chapter 9. She was a kind of first century Mother Teresa, used by God to point people to him. Now, most of us should be able to employ the story sharing style and share our experience with Christ and then point others to him. Think of the blind man described in John chapter 9, who simply talked about his own experience. Quote, "Though I was blind, now I see," he said. Middleberg's own approach is what he calls the reason-giving style. Paul demonstrates this. It's described in Acts 17 when he describes God to a bunch of philosophers in Athens. Though we hear that people are no longer really interested in reasons for the Christian faith, the truth is that many are. They want to know not only what Christians believe, but how Christianity can make sense of the world. And a final approach is the truth-telling style. We're all called to share the truth with others, but some have a unique God-given strength in doing that. Think of Peter, for example, described in Acts chapter 2, speaking to the crowd about who Jesus is and how he fulfills Old Testament promises. Look, at the end of the day, the gospel's a message. The old adage, preach the gospel at all times and when necessary use words, is, well, kind of silly. Zed Stetzer often says that's kind of like saying, feed the hungry at all times and when necessary use food. Mark Middleberg's book is a great tool for learning and planning to share the message of Christ with the wider world. The message is one people need to hear. The mission field is right out the front door. So let's be the kind of Christians who have contagious faith. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
We're coming up on 20 past the hour. Kevin Williams weather next.
Good afternoon. Here's your family life weather forecast for this afternoon. Plentiful sunshine near Lake Erie, a sun-cloud mix elsewhere. High temperatures, mid-70s to the middle 80s for most, closer to 90 in some parts of interior western New York. Tonight, partly cloudy to clear and muggy, 60s and low 70s. Tomorrow, variable clouds, sun, warm, humid, couple heavy thunderstorms and showers around, high temps 80s. Cooler, less humid Thursday, early clouds and sunshine, high in the 70s to near 80 on Thursday.
All right, Kevin Williams, good to have you back in the saddle at the Weather Center. This is the Noon Report. I'm your host, Bob Price. Lots happening this Tuesday afternoon, the 21st of June. The U.S. Supreme Court today ruled that religious schools cannot be excluded from a state-run program in Maine that offered tuition aid for private education. NBC News legal analyst Pete Williams says the court said that the law in Maine violated the religious freedom rights of parents.
And it also said there is, in a sense, a kind of circuit breaker here because the money doesn't go directly to the schools. It goes to the parents who then decide where to send their children.
The 6-3 decision could ease religious organizations' access to taxpayer dollars. A landmark abortion ruling expected soon at the Supreme Court. The justices expected to uphold a Mississippi law that could strike down Roe v. Wade and return the issue of abortion to the states. Tom Fitton with Judicial Watch hopes the ruling comes soon as pro-choice protesters ramp up their efforts to try and intimidate the justices.
What the left has done is they place justices' lives at risk through this incitement and this intimidation. And the sooner the decision comes out, I think the more safe the Supreme Court will be.
Activists today are holding what they're calling a disruptive resistance rally on the steps of the High Court with the hopes of stopping the justices from overturning Roe. The summer solstice officially arrived just past 5 o'clock this morning. Summer definitely looking and feeling the part in the early going. A heat dome has parked over much of the country, pushing temps into record territory, meteorologist David Parkinson.
By and large, this is going to be another really, really uncomfortable to dangerously hot week across the South. We have another set of heat advisories and excessive heat warnings going into effect, and more will be issued as the week goes on.
More than 100 daytime highs could be broken across the upper Midwest, Plains states, and deep South today. We're learning more today about last month's school shooting in Uvalde, Texas, that left 19 elementary students and two teachers dead. The first officers who responded to the crime scene were armed with rifles and shields, but still did not try to confront the gunmen for more than an hour. A fourth public hearing into the January 6th Capitol attack starts in a little more than a half hour on Capitol Hill. The House committee investigating that attack a year and a half ago will be looking at election results from two states, Georgia and Arizona.
Today, the January 6th committee turns its focus to what it contends was a pressure campaign to force two key battleground states to overturn their 2020 election results, states Joe Biden won.
Correspondent Chris Pallone, former Vice President Mike Pence is rallying Republicans in Illinois.
The economic woes now upon us have been caused almost single-handedly by one person, the 46th President of the United States of America, Joe Biden.
Speaking last night in Peoria, Pence urged the GOP to fight back against failed Democratic policies. The former Indiana governor widely rumored to be gearing up for his own presidential run in a couple of years. President Biden could decide by the end of the week whether he'll push for a nationwide gas tax holiday. Gas Buddies' Patrick DeHaan.
The gas tax holiday would provide relief relatively quickly. However, it could impact the amount of gasoline being filled up with every day, and it could eventually down the road lead to higher prices.
The gas tax holiday would save motorists about 18 cents a gallon at the pump. The president is taking heat for suggesting that record high gas prices might be a good thing if it encourages more of us to buy electric vehicles. Former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee calls those comments politically tone deaf.
You know, there's an old rule in politics, and when you're in public service and in office, sometimes you're doing something great, but it doesn't look like you're doing anything. And then there are other times when you really aren't doing anything, but it looks like you're doing something great. Joe Biden has managed to do nothing and to make it look like he's doing nothing.
President Biden telling reporters in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, Monday that Americans have a chance to make a fundamental turn toward renewable energy. Well, big changes are coming to a company that's been serving up morning breakfast since 1906.
Kellogg's will split into three independent companies. One, its North American cereal business. Another, a global snacking snacking brand in the cereal, noodle, and frozen breakfast business. Finally, a plant-based division anchored by the Morningstar Farms brand. Names for these three new companies have not been decided yet. There are no plans to move out of Battle Creek, Michigan. I'm Rory O'Neill.
All right, Rory, thank you. 25 past the hour, next at noon, a Christian response to Gay Pride Month. Our guest is Pastor Dave Bretsch with the Beartown Road Alliance Church near Corning, New York.
That rainbow flag is everywhere in the month of June. It is Gay Pride Month. Wherever you go, you cannot get around it. So it kind of begs the question, how should Christians respond when they're confronted about this issue, or even more to the point, asked to celebrate something that they find contrary to Scripture?
Yeah, I don't think we should be afraid to enter into reasonable, humble dialogue. I think we should understand what God thinks about this topic. I also think we should have a friendship with someone who is same-sex attracted. I mean, I've learned so much about this issue from my one friend who really struggles with this. As far as what do we do when we're asked to celebrate this, you know, I think the Tampa Bay Rays baseball players handled this with grace when they were asked to wear the rainbow flag on their uniforms. You know, several of their players opted out of that, and when they were interviewed about it, they spoke of their faith in a very humble and clear way. You know, for those of us who are Christians, we're called to walk in humility and be led by the Spirit of God. And so I would say, if you feel like your conscience, which should be informed by Scripture, is being violated by supporting or celebrating something, then follow your conscience and leave the results up to God.
Pastor Dave Bretsch with the Beartown Road Alliance Church in Painted Post, our guest today. June is Gay Pride Month, and you see that rainbow flag everywhere. So what's a Christian response to this? And we're getting in what I like to call the nitty-gritty when it comes to this. And you recently, Dave, preached on this topic. Is this a message that you would not have had to give 20 years ago, or maybe even 10 years ago?
Yeah, it seems ever more relevant now than it did 20 years ago. I recently spoke to our high school youth group about this, as well as on Sunday morning. Truthfully, I wish I had given this message 10 years ago, because I believe that following God's word will always make your life better and give you more freedom, not less. I mean, you think about our greatest regrets in life probably would not have happened had we been following God's word at the time. I think we need to encourage our same-sex attracted friends that they are not a second-class Christian, that God loves them. And number two, we should equip our people to stand strong on the truth of God's word as they learn how to love those who might be different from them. And the best thing we can do is listen more, talk less, ask more questions. And I think we'll be better for it, and the church will get stronger.
You know, 20 years ago, same-sex marriage didn't even exist. It wasn't until 2004 when Massachusetts got that ball rolling. Are you surprised at how fast our culture has accepted same-sex marriage? I just couldn't even believe this. The Gallup poll shows 71% of Americans today support gay marriage. It didn't even exist two decades ago.
Yeah, I mean, those of us who hold to a traditional view of marriage are certainly in the minority, and so it is surprising. When I was in high school, I didn't know anyone who was openly gay, and for males who were considered effeminate or suspected of being gay, they had a tough life.
Yeah.
So we're certainly more of a tolerant culture than we were 20 years ago, which in part is a good thing. Because if this is a real struggle for you, you have so many more helpful resources that can equip you to walk with God in this area. But, you know, because our culture is so accepting of it, more people are experimenting with it when perhaps 20 years ago this was not the case. And, you know, I just think experimenting with something that God calls sin will always hurt you and the other people who are closest to you. So when people say, you do you and I'll do me, you know, they say my gay lifestyle isn't hurting anyone, so just leave me alone. I think that's a naive approach to sin.
Yeah, I know you look at your kids and I look at my kids and I say, what's the conversation going to be 20 years from now? Because now we're having the transgender, the gender fluid, the LGBTQ thing is now several letters long. What are our kids going to be confronted with when they're our age when we talk about this issue?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm still trying to get my head around the transgender movement. It is certainly very sophisticated. sophisticated, and you know, we need to listen more than we talk. I'm trying to have these conversations with my kids just at a basic level to try to get them to think biblically, because they are dealing with it every day in school. So it's interesting to see where this goes. Is the transgender thing just a fad that's going to go away, or is it here to stay? Is it going to get more and more prevalent in our culture? We'll see, but certainly the Lord sees the future. He's got the future in the palm of his hands, and we need to trust him with it.
Yeah. Just to bring this full circle, you know, I asked up front the Christian response. I loved what you said. How many of us, this is so convicting, how many of us Christ followers have any friends who are gay? And if not, maybe we need to start there.
I think that's so important. I have learned more about this issue from my friend who is same-sex attracted, and my compassion has increased because of that. Your level of compassion grows when you know people who are hurting and struggling. Mm. You need to do more than just read it in a book or watch some videos. It is so important to be able to have friendships with people who struggle in this area.
Dave Branch, pastor of the Beartown Road Alliance Church near Corning, New York. You're plugged into the Noon Report right here on Family Life.
Good afternoon. Here's your Family Life regional weather forecast. A warmer and more humid air mass will be into play over the next 36 hours in our area. It's not going to be excessively hot or humid, just warmer and more humid than it's been of late. Even this too shall pass. A cold front with thunderstorms tomorrow will cool us on Thursday. For this afternoon, plentiful sunshine near Lake Erie, a sun-cloud mix elsewhere. High temperatures, mid-70s to the middle 80s for most. Closer to 90 in some parts of interior western New York. Tonight, partly cloudy to clear and muggy, 60s and low 70s. Tomorrow, variable clouds, sun, warm, humid. Couple heavy thunderstorms and showers around, high temps 80s. Cooler, less humid Thursday, early clouds and sunshine. High in the 70s to near 80 on Thursday.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. Here comes the heat. And finally at noon, look to the sky. If you do, you're going to see something this month we haven't seen in about 20 years. Five planets, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn, will be aligned in that order. How about that? That's a better lineup than the New York Yankees right there. This Friday, June 25th, the optimal time to see this celestial phenomenon. We haven't seen this since the year 2004. Now, experts say even if conditions are less than ideal, you should still be able to witness this five-planet alignment. And that's the world we live in, Tuesday, the 21st of June. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.